Jesus will help you in every way that you need help. Every single solitary way. Amen? The Bible shows us in 2 Peter 1:19, it says that it is a sure word. Ye do well that you take heed. A sure word means that it is dependable. And so as we begin to understand that the Word of God is full of power and that it's as near to us that it's in our hearts, if we put it there, then we can speak it out. This is why we tell you to read the Word, because when it's in you at need, you begin to speak the Word of God. And that's when it becomes power in your life. Now, I've taught you on binding and loosening, some of you many times, some of you've never heard the teaching. But binding and loosening is a part of your spiritual warfare that is one of the most powerful things that you can do with your mouth and your faith and your mind if you understand the principles of what happens when you say those scriptures. Amen? In Matthew 12:22-33, and you can read it when you get home, mark it down. The Bible teaches us for sure that you have an enemy and you have a friend. And the enemy is the devil. And when you become a Christian, you become a marked person. Jesus puts his seal in your forehead. And the devil sees that. When he looks at you, he doesn't have to guess whether you're born again or not. He knows. Isn't that right? Yeah, he knows. And so there's no hiding places for you as far as he's concerned anymore. So you have to be hidden in the rock of Jesus. And so whenever you become born again, you're targeted. Not only are you targeted by the devils, but your entire family's targeted by the devils. Why is that so? Well, it's so because God has given us promises. He's given us promises that if we repent and are saved, he'll save us, our household, which is your family, and as many, which is your relatives, on as far as he reaches out for them. They will be saved in Acts 2:38-39. And other places in the Bible teaches that. So it gives you the promises that the blessings of Abraham will come down upon you just like the curses in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 will come down upon those people that are disobedient to God, will come down upon them. Now, when the curses are coming down on the people, they don't seem to mind. They just get up the next day and they try to figure a way out that they can have a better day. And then that day will usually turn out to be just as bad as the day before, if not worse. But as Christians washed in the blood of the Lamb, as Christians that are new creations under Christ Jesus, as Christians that can expect the Lord to work on our side as the devil works on the unbeliever's side, we can expect more. We can expect a better day every day. Amen? And so Jesus gave his disciples, when he called them into the kingdom, power. He gave them his power to use his name. And his name is above all the names in the universe, above every name that was ever named. And the Bible tells us in Philippians that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it shows us that He's Lord above all. That's who you serve. He's Lord above all. So your obedience to Jesus, your obedience to doing the Word of God, your obedience of understanding how to take that word and put it into practice is power. And it's more power than the devil has. That's what I want you to see. In your life, you can have actually more power than all the devils that you used to have before you got born again. And all the devils that are coming to your doorstep every day attacking your mind, your body, and your spirit. You can have more power than all of that. The problem with the church today is people don't want to sit and learn the Word of God. People are usually running after big personalities. They're running after things, money. They're running after preachers that are giving them promises that they can't keep. They're running after everything but Jesus. But as long as we stay tightly connected into Jesus, every promise in the Word of God is ours. Do you believe that? It's ours. You know something, Peggy? Your family is the Lord's. Okay? I've known Peggy probably 25, 30 years. She said 20 because she wanted to look younger. But many, many years I've known. I knew Peggy when her little children were just little tots coming over to our home prayer meeting many, many years ago. But all of those many years, she has stood on the Word and believed God for her family. And sometimes when we stand on the Word and we're believing God for our families, and sometimes it happens instantly for some people, sometimes it doesn't. But when it doesn't, that's when you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you belong to the Lord, they belong to the Lord, and in the Lord's day and time, He will get them. No matter what you see with your eyes, no matter what the devil whispers in your ear, no matter what you think with your mind, I'm going to tell you that the promises belong to those that are faithful and obedient to the Word of God. And so you have to keep that in front of you at all times. But now, warring for those people in your family, praying for those people in your family, is a very important component of your life after you become born again. Walking with Jesus first, being victorious, being obedient to Him, taking His Word, saturating yourself in His Word so it becomes a part of your mind, body, and spirit, and then doing your spiritual warfare for yourself and your family. Those are the elements of beginning to see action of God move in your life. Amen? The Bible tells us the very first thing that you have to do when you're in spiritual warfare is you have to bind the strong man. Well, now, if you just read that in the Bible, that's just words, isn't it? What does it mean? What does that word mean? First, Jesus said you have to bind the strong man. Well, you see, the devil is not going to just release his captives willingly. He grabs them. Some of it comes down from curses from their family lines. Some of it comes down because of the sins that they enter into after they become grown themselves. They do things. They see daddy doing things, they go do those same things. Or they hear about mama used to do things and they think that gives them a license to go do it, even though mama's no longer doing anything. You see what I'm saying? So the rationalization for sin is always there. And the devil is a stronghold over every single person's life. And so when he says that first we have to bind the strong man, that means that the devil has to be neutralized. His power has to be neutralized over those people's lives and over the areas of your life where you're still weak. Do you know there are Christians that still have areas where they're weak, that they can't seem to get the victory over? Well, they have to put up a warfare to get the victory over that. And some of them just go along and say, Lord, you know, I've tried to quit smoking, but I can't. I've done everything. I've done the patches. I've confessed the word. I've done everything. I've even gotten deliverance and can't. Well, you see, here's the thing. That is a defeatist attitude. And that's an attitude that gives that open doorway to that devil, and he can do with you things that is not going to be pleasant for you. He can either kill you with cancer, emphysema, or some other wicked disease. Because it says right on the pack, this is a hazard, it will kill you, doesn't it? And so people just go ahead and smoke, and this voice comes to their mind. I know, because I used to smoke. And it'll say, yeah, but that's everybody but you. Because you're a very special person. But yes, you're a special person, but you are a targeted person for destruction of the enemy. And so the only thing that is your salvation is spiritual warfare, resisting the devil, according to James chapter 5, it says, 1:5, it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and what does he do? He flees. He runs away. When you say no, and you mean it, and he sees that he's not gaining any ground over your life, he runs away. Why does he run away? He doesn't want you to see how weak he really is. He hopes that you'll forget the next time he comes and tempts you that previously he ran away from you. But if you keep on resisting and standing, eventually that area of your life and the walls will come tumbling down and you'll have the victory, and he can't tempt you in that particular area anymore because you've defeated him. You've defeated your flesh. You've defeated your desire. And you see, your will is so involved with every part of your walk with Jesus. He's not going to overstep your will. I mean, I know people that are saying, I wish God would deliver me from this. But they're not willing for God to deliver because of the pleasure devils that they're playing around with. Pleasure devils are the things that your flesh wants to do that it ought not to do. So they say, well, Lord, I'll serve you. I'll go to church. I'll pay my tithes. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do this and the other. But I need this. You don't understand. I have to have this. This is the only thing that I have left that gives me pleasure. Well, that's the very thing that can make you have a downfall, because it's an open door to your life. So he said the words, first you've got to bind the strong man. And the Bible says it again in Matthew 12:29. It says, or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house. You have to bind him. You have to tie him up in order to rob him from his goods. What are his goods? Demons. See, that demon that draws that person not to give up that particular thing has a stronghold over that life. And he cannot get rid of it unless he does the very basic principles of warfare. He must what? Speak to it in the name of Jesus. Bind it up as the scriptures just told you. You bind Satan and then you bind the problem in Jesus' name. And then the Bible teaches us that once those devils get bound up in your life, or if you're praying for your children and those devils get bound up in their lives, then Jesus can come in and rob the house that the devil had control over. He can do it. And so the Bible means that when he goes in to rob that house, he plunders it. He strips it from the foe. You are going to take away that household from the devil's occupation, and you're going to strip him of all of his weapons and all that he's previously captured over that individual or over you. You're going to bind it and you're going to take it away from him. That's warfare. As clearly as I could tell you, that's warfare. You're going to literally fasten him and bind him up, and you are going to take authority over his goods. And just like a thief, you're going to enter in. And you see, now I'm not going to get as far as I'd like to today, but the way you do this is all authority is invested in Jesus Christ. You're his representative when you use and speak his word. It's like you're his policeman. And so you are in the spirit realm, binding all of those devils, motivating and driving, and have control of those people that you're praying for. You're binding sexual spirits, drug spirits. You're taking authority over rebellion, rejection. You're taking authority over doubt and unbelief, spiritual blindness, spiritual deafness, and on and on and on. And, well, when you first start doing it, you may not see any result. But it is as you begin to take territories over yourself and over your own life, little things begin to happen that you've been trying to get power in your own life, and you begin to see that Jesus Christ can work in your life, that your faith will begin to expand, and it will begin to see that the devil is fearful of you because of who you are. But you see, most Christians don't realize that, so they're just pincushions for the devil. And the devil has just come and taken their households. Most Christian families, their households have gone to the world because there's much power out there in the movies, on the TV, on the video games, in the schools, in the peer pressure. Every place they turn and look, peer pressure, peer pressure, peer pressure. And very little gospel teaching in most of your churches today. So we're in a very powerful warfare, but we're at the state that we must win the battle that God has given us to win because time is short. You see, Jesus is coming back very soon. I know that we all know that in this church. He's coming back. And he wants to come back for a church without spot or wrinkle. That's you. You're his church. And he wants to take our families with him. He doesn't want us to believe that they're going to hell and we're going to heaven. He wants us to say, Jesus, I believe your word. Your word says that you're going to take me. I've done what you've told me to do, and I'm willing to stand and do your word over myself and over my family. Be willing to speak the word of God. When this says bind, that you shall bind the strong man, it's just words in a Bible. It does nothing unless you put it in your heart and you begin to bind and speak to that enemy. In Jesus' name, you bind all of the things that they're doing. And then that same scripture says, if you loose whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Begin to bind the evil and begin to loose the power of God. Begin to loose friends to go to them, peers, and witness to them. Begin to loose a desire to know Jesus. Begin to loose powers of the Holy Ghost, Jesus, and the Word, to come to them in their dreams, to give them supernatural experiences. You see, God can reach people where we can't. He can even go down into hell, Psalm says. So have faith in whom you serve. Know that he's a mighty Christ sitting on the throne, just sitting there waiting for you to come so that he can help you. You cannot do it yourself. He needs you as a vessel to speak his word. Just like the devil needs a witch or a Satanist to do his will and his word, to speak his curses and his hexes and his spells, to do evil over the world, God needs you as his holy vessel, sanctified, purified, speaking his word, to do his will over the earth. Did I help you today at all? Amen.